In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM.
Yes, indeed. We got some college football to discuss. Welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network, the Odyssey app, 1080 AM, and YouTube. Fan text lines 503-864-6326. A lot more to discuss today, but we thought it'd be a lot of fun. Spring football wrapped up last weekend.
Yes, it did.
You are a sicko for it.
I watched.
You watched other team spring games.
I did.
I just watch it from afar and say, oh, that happened. Okay, cool. We'll get to fall camp, but I'll get more jacked for
That's why this guy's right up my alley, man. You're doing film breakdowns for spring games. You're hitting me where I need it.
He's a psycho, to say the least. That's former offensive lineman for Penn State, good friend of the program, and national college football analyst Landon Tangwall. You can find him on Twitter, at Landon Tangwall. Find his show on YouTube as well. Good morning, Landon. Thanks for hopping on with us. You are indeed a sicko breaking down spring ball tape. What is wrong with you?
Gentlemen, good morning. Yeah, I definitely have an issue. It's not only just breaking down the whole game. I go individual players. I'm probably going to do a couple more. I got a film problem, but there was too much good on the field not to do it. I did indeed watch a lot of spring games too, and some of them it feels like you don't get a whole lot. And I actually felt like there was a good amount to learn about this Oregon roster this coming season. And you saw some young guys really pop off, too.
So I love this. By the way, this guy on his YouTube channel, he's got depth chart breakdowns.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing.
We're doing film breakdowns for freshman offensive linemen. It's glorious. Like, if you're a sicko, absolutely glorious content. Let me ask you, and I'll even – look, let's bring Bloods and Crips together here for a moment. You did two different features for true freshman offensive linemen out of their spring games, one at Washington and one at Oregon. And I'm curious, were these guys on your radar going in? And then let Husky and Duck fans know kind of what you saw from guys who might end up being impact players right out of the gate for their programs next fall.
Yeah, so you got two true freshmen, one that was obviously committed to Oregon at one time. That's at Washington now, Cody Green. And so he's slotted to likely start them for left tackle. Had a really, really good spring game. And the biggest thing you see nowadays, and I think we've even talked about this, is the development of offensive linemen has really went down, and coaches are looking for these quality guys. And you get two big-time players in Tommy Topi for Oregon and Cody Green for Washington. So I wanted to dive into their tape. And I know what it was like to early enroll at a school and go into spring ball and just get your butt kicked every single day. So I watch these guys that are here like pancaking dudes. They're just planting like third, fourth year player defensive ends in the dirt. And I'm like, yeah, like this means you're going to be a big time offensive lineman. So I see both of these young guys that just, you know, should still be going to prom right now are already just mauling guys in college football. So it's cool. I'm a big trenches guy. So I love breaking down O-line and D-line, and they both got a special one there. And then Oregon even has some more, talent coming in this summer. You got a five-star offensive lineman that's coming in this summer that's not even on campus yet, too.
Yeah. Landon Tangwall, our guest here, he's actually just about 14 hours ago posted his Oregon Duck post-spring depth chart preview that you can find on YouTube. Okay, so what are your takeaways? It's spring ball, right? We still have a lot of time before we get to fall ball, and then you get into the games. You start learning about teams, I think, more as the season goes on. But in looking at kind of the depth chart and seeing what you saw in spring, we've got two new coordinators here in Eugene. I'm curious, Dan Lanning, coming off a very bad playoff loss to Indiana, what did you notice or what sticks out to you about Oregon's team from spring going into fall camp?
Yeah, I think naturally when you do watch a spring game, you're not going to find a whole ton out about like the schemes, and the coaches aren't going to get too deep to it, especially if it is on TV. But you see certain players. So, I mean, for one, Evan Stewart, who has been injured for a while at wide receiver, and everybody remembers how explosive and dynamic this guy is. And it was kind of just a question of whenever someone's out for almost, well over a year, like, you start to ask questions of can they get back to that same physicality and the ability to go up and track footballs and trust your body and still have that speed. And it looked like Evan Stewart has all of those things. The route running looked really crisp. Had a really, really big day out there. So I think that's a really big plus. You already know what you have in DeCorian Moore at wide receiver. You know, I had a really nice play to end there, the spring game. And really the biggest thing is he was really popped on the scene early and then just dealt with some injuries. So I feel like this is a name that people obviously know about him, but I feel like he's really going to pop on the scene this year in college football and going to be a household name. And then the other big question was like, look, you get your entire defensive line returning. It's such a veteran group. Those starters, there's a ton of guys that you trust that are going to play dang good football. But the biggest question is, you lost some interior defensive linemen. You lose one to Notre Dame. You lose one to Alabama. And it was kind of like, hey, Oregon's a defense that they do rotate a decent amount on that defensive line. So it was kind of like, who are these guys behind them? And they didn't really do too much in the portal with that. And then out of nowhere, Aiden Breland has like two and a half sacks in the spring game, defensive tackle. That's really starting to come on going into year three here. And then the big one was Matthew Johnson, defensive tackle, young guy going into year two. And it's just like, it seems like the light kind of flicked on for these guys. And I think that was really, really big because Oregon's big on being able to switch out those guys and get fresh bodies in there. And you kind of already know you had some talent at depth on the edge and Elijah rushing. And then Nasir Wyatt, who had some really, really nice pass rushes throughout the college football playoffs. So you feel like, once again, this is a defense. You obviously know what you have on the back end. Brandon Finney Jr., probably one of the best cornerbacks in America as a true sophomore this coming year. Ife Obadegwu is someone that's been playing some really high-level football. So I think nationally you still say, hey, can the linebackers on defense, play at a high level? Because that's kind of been the question over the past couple years. You get Jerry Mixon obviously coming back, who was really playing some good football for you last year when we started to play. And then Devin Jackson, was on and off. But I think both guys – showed good spring ball. So the defense really isn't the question for me. I think one of the bigger things is the offensive line. I think that's the one of the bigger worries, and you have some turnover there. You got some young guys. Especially the big takeaway, if you didn't watch the spring game, there was 10 sacks technically given up. Number one, a lot of those sacks, they would blow it dead if the defensive lineman got anywhere near the quarterback. So there was no really true chance to elude any tackles. They just blew it down. So I think there's a couple more sacks added on than there really would have been, especially with how your quarterbacks move around. But I think the biggest question, it's not a talent question for the Oregon offensive line, because as I watch across the board in the spring game, I see unbelievable movement. These guys with great technique. Alik Terry, the offensive line coach, clearly does a great job in getting these guys to understand what he wants from them. It's more just the gelling of offensive line is, people talk about quarterback and wide receiver being on the same page. It's you need that tenfold with the offensive line, because all five guys have to be on the same page. If four guys have a great block and one guy messes up, it can still be an awful play. So I think that's the biggest thing you're going to see with a decent amount of turnover on this offensive line, is like, how are they gelling? How are they communicating with each other? But overall, I don't, it's not too much of a concern of mine of this offensive line having poor offensive line play on this Oregon offense.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal breakdown of the spring game. I'm having a blast right now. You guys having fun? This is glorious.
More than you gave me.
Well, you wouldn't let me give the time. You didn't ask me the questions, man. I watched the game.
We got a better breakdown film watcher there.
Let me ask you this, though. So I'm curious, when you look at the Big Ten next year, it feels like everybody going into the year will be, Indiana national champion, obviously. Ohio State is Ohio State, and Oregon returning all the pieces are returning. That's kind of your big three at the top, and then maybe a next group of teams. I'm wondering if you see it that way, and as you've kind of perused through other spring games, you mentioned some highlights from Washington, USC with big expectations, Michigan a change of head coach. Like, do you buy stock in one of those teams in the next tier to either be in that or make that jump up this year? Like, how do you kind of view the pecking order at the top of the Big Ten?
Yeah, I think it's very clear right now, especially after what happened with Penn State, that it is just those three sitting atop, because you look across the board and you get flashes of these Washingtons, of these, Maryland will come on the scene for a little bit every year and then just completely fall off, it feels like. the whole Penn State fiasco, I think as much as Penn State has a very easy schedule, they don't play any of those top three teams that you mentioned, so they might have a decent path this year, but I still think there's a decent rebuild there for Matt Campbell and Happy Valley. So I would not bet on anybody in the field within the next year. I think, too, you look at Michigan and you have, a lot of positive after everything that happened. But like Bryce Underwood, I watched their spring game. It's at the point where they had a true freshman named Tommy Carr that came in. He was originally committed, I think, like Miami of Ohio. And he comes in and he outplays Bryce Underwood in the spring game significantly. And the biggest worry is that it's all the same things, all the same problems continue to pop up for Bryce Underwood, just poor mechanics, and he's just always trying to fire missiles in there, and it was not very good at all. I think he completed like 3 or 4 out of his 12 passes. So you almost have this big question in Ann Arbor about what's that going to be. Is Whittingham going to be able to develop him? And I think if you can't truly develop a quarterback like that, with you're paying $10 million plus, you got problems there. So overall, I look around and I don't really know if there's too much of a challenge to Indiana, Oregon, and Ohio State. I feel like they're comfortably sitting at the top for the foreseeable next couple years.
Are you in or out on a 24-team playoff? Because it feels like it's going to happen, whether we like it or not. Where are you at on it?
I'm so out. I'm so out. It's so disappointing. It feels like it's going to ruin a lot of things. I think rivalry weekend at the end of the year, there's going to be so many teams where you really feel like, all right, do we sit some of our guys? Because I think that becomes a reality when you're sitting at 24 teams. You go back and you look at some of these teams over the years since the college football playoff era started, and you look at teams that would be 23rd, 24th. You're looking at like 4 or 5 lost teams even some years that are ranked 23rd, 24th at the end of the year. And it's like we're inviting that into the playoffs, and so it really does become a bit of a mockery. But I think the coaches, they want it, because if I'm a coach, sounds a lot better to say that I was in the playoffs last year than I was coaching in the ReliaQuest Bowl. I was down in the Honolulu Bowl. I think that's why the coaches are all behind it. So I don't know. I think it's bad. The TV will obviously like it. I do wonder how it's going to affect. I mean, I think we're going to see changes. I could see more cutting of the out-of-conference schedule in those early games. I mean, as these players are demanding more money, because this is a big reason why it happened. The players need to get paid more money, and everybody's trying to keep up. And so we need more TV revenue. You need all of it. And so you want bigger games. So I think that is, the one thing. Yes, there's maybe technically more high-stake games. Still think there'll be a decent amount of blowouts in those games. But I would also be on the lookout for maybe the early season to change. There's talks of you're going to have to kind of figure some stuff out and move some games up, because they want to be done no later than the second week in January. And you're going to have to do that, because you start to deal with people enrolling in classes. And, that starts mid to early, depending if you're trimester. So it's a whole headache. But it all comes down to really the money problem. I think that is ultimately why it's happening.
Well, the good news is the Pop-Tart Bowl now is going to be a playoff game. And I, for one, need to kill a Pop-Tart and see an Eaton with a playoff advancement happening between the two teams. That's the good news out of it. Great stuff. You know what? Next time we get you on, we'll get you on for one of our more lengthier segments, because I had more questions, so follow-up. So let's hold that. And then we'll get you on down the road. Landon Tangwall, our guest here. You can find his show on YouTube. He's got the Oregon Duck Breakdown. He is great. He's a ball knower. He breaks everything down and makes it way easier for all the simpletons out there like myself. Thank you so much for hopping on with us, Landon. We appreciate it, and let's catch up with you soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great day.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from Landon Tangwall, the breakdown of your Oregon Ducks in spring football.
It was an accurate breakdown, man. Everything he said was spot on from the spring game.
That's a guy that you can tell, like, actually watches other teams and doesn't just, like...
If you're referencing third and fourth depth pieces on the defensive line, you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just, they're going to be good. They got their starters back.
Does Kirk Herbstreit know who Elijah Rushing is? I don't know.
I don't know if he does, but...
I
don't think he does.
Landon Tangwall does. Good stuff from him. Maybe a little follow-up, but also we have breaking news in the National Football League. Let's get to that coming up next on 105.1 The Fan.